That's her advice. So on budget and on time. So the question is, why then has the board been booted? The Cross River Rail project is a major infrastructure project, probably one of the biggest ones Queensland's done so far. $5.4 billion initially. Today we learnt that the board has effectively been booted. Their contracts run out, we think, in April. It looks like they won't be coming back. A hand-picked chief to run the project now under the control of Minister Kate Jones. Rumours of promised costs being way under what will actually cost to build the project. Union anger, apparently, and protest against the company that won a major contract for the project. This is Cross River Rail today. And I think it's supposed to be up and running by 24-25. Let me play you what Kate Jones, the minister responsible for delivering the project, said today.
I am very proud to be the Cross River Rail Minister. As you all know, at the end of last year, the Premier asked me to take the reins of this project. And today I'm announcing a number of changes where I will be able to get a much more direct line of sight on delivering this project for the people of Queensland. Today I'm announcing that I'll be issuing a ministerial directive for the CEO to report directly to me as Minister and not the board. In addition to this, I am announcing a new beefed up contract compliance unit that will hold the contractor to account. The $5.4 billion contract is already in place. The contractor is required to meet the requirements of that contract. What I'm saying clearly today, it is my job to hold them to that contract. I also want to take this opportunity to thank the board. They have done a fantastic job during the procurement phase, and I want to acknowledge their leadership in what is and has been the largest procurement project ever undertaken in the history of Queensland. But now we're getting on the job of building this project. And that's why, as Minister, I want a direct line of sight on how we build the Cross River Rail project. No, I had absolute faith in the current board. Their term was actually due to expire in April, and I think they've done a fantastic job when it comes to the procurement of the largest project ever entered into in Queensland's history. But as I said, the next 4 years is about getting on with the job of building this. And as a minister responsible, we need to stay one step ahead of the game. You know, we have a very strong contract in place, but I've seen what's happened in our southern states. You know, we need to make sure that our compliance unit is beefed up and is keeping this contractor to account at every single step.
Kate Jones, the Minister for Cross River Rail, delivering the project. Josh Babbis is ABC reporter and was at the press conference. Josh, the project's being delivered on time and on budget, and apparently the board's done a fantastic job during the procurement phase. So why have they been told they ain't got a job after April?
Well, good question, Steve, and good afternoon. Look, Kate Jones, the minister, she was promising a new era of accountability. That's how she described it. And as you heard in that grab there, she was saying, well, the board's term had actually just expired and they could save a bit of money by not taking them on. But she says that she'll have ultimate control, something similar to what she said how it was handled with the Commonwealth Games, where the minister has a direct line of control with the project. Now, to give you a bit of background, Kate Jones took over this portfolio back in about the end of last year. That was when Jackie Trad was going through that whole political saga with not declaring her Woolloongabba investment house on time. Kate Jones took over the portfolio, but also what you have here is several major protests by the CFMEU and the ETU over a long-standing stoush with the main contractor at the centre of this project. And they've been protesting the government over the last few months of last year, saying that it needed to be completely abolished, they needed to start again. So that's the background. Perhaps here what you have is the minister coming in, trying to start, in her own words, a new era of accountability, saying that she's directly in control.
But there's less accountability because they've sacked the board. There's just her direct reporting.
So as aside to that, the minister said that she will have what she's described as a new compliance unit to watch over everything. But ultimately, it will be between her, the CEO will be directly reporting to the minister.
Explain to me the contract compliance unit. What is it?
Well, they're meant to be doing all the checks and balances for all the smaller projects that run within the larger vision.
CPB, the company that the unions are apparently upset with, has already won the contract.
That's right. And there's no going back on that.
It's in writing. Everyone signed.
Exactly. So the minister's trying to handle that. Now, the ABC's been told that the unions are going to be watching how this plays out from here on in.
Sorry, forgive me for interrupting. Are you telling me that the whole board was sacked and the minister now has direct oversight because a faction of the Labor Party doesn't like the people that won a contract?
Well, the minister hasn't put it that they've been sacked. She says their term has expired. She said they won't be renewed, that she'll be keeping a senior public servant on in charge of that new compliance unit, but she'll, in fact, be taking up the roles and responsibilities that the board would have.
How is a compliance unit different to the board?
That's a good question. I'm not sure of the intricacies of it all.
Sorry.
But I'm sure they'll be doing all the compliance checks and balances.
But either way, Kate Jones now has direct, clear control over the entire $5.4 billion plus project.
That's right. And we are in an election year, and the CFMEU and the ETU are big players in elections. So that's all on background. So that's what's happening in the months leading up to this decision today. The minister did promise that she would be keeping within the budget the $5.4 billion. We'll have to see how that plays out. I'll come back to you in 2024 and let you know.
Okay, if that's the case, if that's all true, and let's accept that it is, why not keep the board? They've just done an incredible job of keeping the project within budget and on time.
Well, good question. And, you know, they've got some senior, you know, we've got like a former deputy premier, Paul Lucas. He was on the board. She has thanked them for the work that they've done up to this point, but says they're no longer needed. Not only that, but some of the costs involved with having the board will now be shuffled over to the new compliance unit now instead.
Okay. Josh, thanks so much for that. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Steve.
Josh Babbis, ABC reporter. He was covering that press conference. Let's go to the rail lobby group Rail Back on Track and Jeff Addison. Jeff Addison, thanks for joining us this afternoon. Can I get your initial reaction, first of all, that everything's on time and on budget, but the board don't have a job?
Yeah, good afternoon, Steve. It's quite extraordinary, really, in our opinion, certainly with the members of the board. For example, Paul Lucas. I know Paul Lucas quite well because in August 2006 he said in Parliament that we'd have rail duplication to the Sunshine Coast by 2012 to Lansborough. And, you know, we have Neil Scales, the Director General of Transport and Main Roads, also involved. So it is quite an extraordinary situation for the minister to take over.
That sounds to me like you don't have confidence in the board. Or a couple of members of the board?
Look, we certainly have concerns about the entire Cross River Rail project. We certainly don't think it's going to be the $5.4 billion. Look, there are parts of it, you know, three new stations at the Gold Coast, for example, have been added to the project. Clapham Yards, we know, will need to be upgraded for the project. There are a number of items. Rolling stock, we estimate they'll lead at least 42 to 50 new trains just to meet what they specify in the business case for services. And there's, you know, $3 billion just there. There's certainly a lot of costs. That $5.4 billion cost was first stated, around, you know, June 2016. The fact that price hasn't moved is also a bit of a surprise. I can tell you the rail duplication to the Sunshine Coast, which was announced as $780 million, within 18 months became $800 million. So there's that aspect to the costings as well, Steve.
All right. Now, my guest is Jeff Addison from the rail lobby group Rail Back on Track. Jeff Addison, does it give you any, does it help calm you or solve your concerns or soothe your concerns that now Kate Jones, the minister, will have direct, specific line of sight, as she calls it, or control over this major project?
Yes and no. I wrote to the minister raising our concerns, and I sent her the Bannister report, David Bannister, you had on your show back in December. And I got a response back from the minister that basically told me that what we were requesting would require rescoping of the Cross River Rail project, that the contracts had already been signed, and she directed me to discuss our concerns with a director at the Cross River Rail Delivery Authority. I did that. I spoke to a director at the Delivery Authority, and he wasn't really able to tell me anything to allay my concerns. For example... Well, for example, the we asked for sort of what plans or what, you know, what were the design aspects of the project, you know, what they were aiming to achieve, and they couldn't tell us, which, and they said that I was told that the decisions hadn't been made by government. So here we have a $5.4 billion contract being let and being built at the moment, and yet they're telling us that they don't know what it's going to be designed for. It really is extraordinary. And to counter that, you can just Google Cross River Rail benefits, look up the Sunshine Coast, and it'll tell me that we'll get a maximum of 4 trains per hour, 1 train every 15 minutes to the Sunshine Coast under the current proposal, which is exactly what David Bannister's conclusion came to in his report.
So what you're telling me is that your group believes that something's wrong, that they've muffed it, that their planning doesn't work, that their figures don't work, and that that one part of the department knows this and the minister or the board don't seem to know it.
That's exactly right, Steve, yes.
This is one of the most major infrastructure projects in Queensland, as far as I'm aware, Jeff Addison. What needs to happen to get it back on track? So you said you're partially happy that Kate Jones has direct control now, if I'm reading you right. Is that right?
That's right, provided she does something, provided she acts.
Okay, so you're happy that she's now got direct control, but you want her to fix it. So what you're telling me is that the Cross River Rail plan is fundamentally flawed, that their costs don't work, their forecasts don't work, and there are people in the organisation that know this, but their board doesn't seem to realise this, and now they're gone.
Yep, that pretty well sums it up. I mean, the government's own business case said that the benefits of the project would exceed its cost by $1.9 billion, but looking at, you know, the extra rolling stock, the extra stations, etc., it shows that you know, that business case figure is fundamentally wrong. That was pointed out by Infrastructure Australia in their initial assessment of the Cross River Rail project. We believe that they need to do a few things, which David Bannister asked them to do in his response to the project. He submitted that on the last day it was due. He got an acknowledgement of his email, but all of the points he raised were not even addressed. For example, we want them to reinstate the Northern Connection, an arrangement from the 2017 business case, so that it will increase capacity to the North Coast Line from 24 trains per hour to 30 trains per hour, which is a 50% increase. We want them to incorporate tunnel stubs at Dutton Park, which will allow the tunnel to extend through to Yeronpilly without disrupting the current operating railway, and also to incorporate tunnel stubs at Roma Street. And this is a critical one for us on the Sunshine Coast, so it would allow the tunnel to be connected to the Northwest Transport Corridor in the long term and allow capacity on the North Coast Line to above 40 trains per hour. The current capacity of the Cross River Rail project for the Sunshine Coast is a measly 4 trains per hour, which is extraordinary given the cost and scope of this project.
Jeff Addison, the Minister has announced a contract compliance unit once the board is gone. Will that have the power? Do you know what that does? Will that have the power to fix these problems or lift the lid on these problems?
Given their record, we had the City Train Response Unit set up in response to the rail fail. Its reports were regularly late and would only sort of appear after we would make complaints about the non-action of that body. Certainly, you know, until we see timely responses and actions from this new body, we're certainly reticent about its operational capability.
I'll leave it there, Jeff Addison. Thanks for coming on.
Sorry, thank you, Steve.
Jeff Addison from Rail Back on Track. Now, Mr. Addison mentioned a work done by David Bannister. Let me just jog your memory. David Bannister, I interviewed him late last year. He was back in Australia. David Bannister worked in the very heart of the system. David Bannister worked in Queensland Rail in coordinating infrastructure, including Cross River Rail, for 6 years between 2010 and 2016, a vital planning phase for this major infrastructure project. And when I interviewed David Bannister, he was very blunt in his concerns. He said the business case as it currently stands for this project did not add up. Let me jog your memory.
The original business case talked about having up to 30 trains an hour coming from the North Coast line and the Kipper Ring line. Basically, the way that this was able to occur was the arrangement of tracks on the north side of the city, which split the services from the Sunshine Coast line down into the Cross River Rail Tunnel, while the trains from Kipper Ring went through the existing mains on the same alignment as they do today. In the most recent release of the infrastructure in June, the track layouts do not allow that to occur anymore. So basically what's happening is all those trains now must be funneled through Cross River Rail instead of being able to be split out one to the other.
Now, won't that create a sort of a bottleneck or a traffic jam, for want of a better term?
Indeed, it does. So we know that the capacity of Cross River Rail is 24 trains per hour. And so immediately, if all these trains are being funneled into Cross River Rail, we can't get the 30 trains per hour that was included in the business case. So there is a fundamental change. We're talking about 6 trains per hour, or about 25% of the capacity has disappeared.
So there should have been 30 trains per hour, but because it goes to this one point of the Cross River Rail project, that'll now be at a maximum of only 24 trains per hour.
That's correct.
They've created a bottleneck.
They have.
Knowingly.
Knowingly, it seems, yes.
What would be the reasoning to do that? Would there be any engineering master plan to deliberately make that choice? Like cost, perhaps?
There would definitely have been a cost implication, although in the scheme of a project which is now in the $6+ billion mark, we're talking maybe in the few tens of millions. So there is a possibility for that. Main yard, it's where the main changes have occurred, is a difficult sort of area. It's swampy. It has adjacency to the Inaugura Creek. So there are difficulties there. However, in order for it to have gone through the business case, these must have been resolved because they went through a detailed design process which would have signed off on all those issues.
The plan that was, this final point was done in June this year, wasn't it?
It was indeed.
Okay. So what will this do to the Cross River Rail vision or idea?
So as we've just pointed out, it creates a bottleneck. The main issue is the way that the services would then be running through the city after this. So we can follow the tracks, and it is important to note that they haven't released an updated operating plan, but by following the tracks, we can see where these trains have to be funneled. So all the trains that come from the North Coast line and the Kipper Ring line have to be funneled through Cross River Rail, which means that the growth is limited. So we've gone from being able to put 20 trains an hour down through now to 24 trains per hour. It's also important to remember in the context of the new signalling system that would have increased the capacity of the existing corridor to 24 trains per hour anyway. So Cross River Rail for the North Coast line and Kipper Ring lines in particular is providing 0 trains per hour benefit over what the ETCS project would have done on its own.
David Bannister, who worked in Queensland Rail in coordinating infrastructure, including the Cross River Rail project itself, for 6 years between 2010 and 2016. He joined me late last year. Sadly, no one picked up on an interview. We'll keep pursuing the story and see if we can find out, get clarity, and we'll keep requesting the Minister, Kate Jones, to come on and answer some questions. We are one. Every Aussie.